Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined again today by my colleague Fiona Campbell, who is an associate in the business immigration team here at Sintons. And our podcast today is episode 2 in our Understanding Business Immigration with Fiona Campbell podcast series. And today Fiona is going to discuss right to work checks. So without any further ado, straight over to Fiona. Fiona, good morning and over to you.
Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone, for joining us again. And I hope that you're finding this series useful, or as far as it's actually got so far. But as David mentioned, this is the second in our series, Understanding Business Immigration. And today I'm going to be focusing on right to work checks. The reason I wanted to focus on this today is that right to work checks have undergone a recent change to address the change in status of workers from the EU or EEA. So, right to work checks. First of all, what are they for? What's their purpose? As I'm sure you'll all be aware, it's illegal for employers to employ someone who doesn't have the right to work in the UK. Employers who do employ someone illegally can be subject to hefty fines and, in the worst case, a custodial sentence. Therefore, clearly employers want to ensure that their employees all have the right to work in the UK. Undertaking the appropriate checks will not only provide the employer with evidence that their staff have this, so they'll feel more secure and know that they're actually employing staff legally, but if the checks are undertaken correctly, then if an employee was found to be an illegal worker, the fact that the checks were undertaken will act as what is known as a statutory excuse, which is effectively a defence for the employer. This is, however, subject to the caveat that the checks were properly undertaken and that the ID provided couldn't obviously have been identified as fake. Clearly, if what they provide you with is obviously totally dodgy, then that's not going to act as a decent defence for you. So, once we know why we're doing the right to work checks, what's the best way of actually doing them? What's the correct way of doing these checks? So, the checks should be undertaken before you employ someone to ensure that they are legally allowed to do the work in question. So that's not only that they're allowed to actually work for you, but also that they're allowed to do the actual job you want to employ them for. The current exemption to checks having to be done prior to the employee starting relates to European staff. Prior to the 1st of July this year, employees from the EU or EEA will have been able to work in the UK with just an EU passport as evidence that they've got that right. However, as of the 1st of July, subject to any extensions they might have been given, this won't actually suffice, and additional evidence that they have the appropriate settled status will need to be acquired. Therefore, for these staff, it's crucial that a new check is undertaken as soon as possible if you haven't done it already. So there are two methods of undertaking right to work checks. You've got your manual method and an online method. So in relation to the manual document check, there are three steps you need to take. So step one is obtaining the appropriate original document. There's a list of the acceptable documents which are broken down into list A, and I'm not going to go through all the different documents. I'll be happy to tell you what they are at another time, but suffice to say there's plenty of documents on list A, and these are documents that only need to be provided once. You've then got list B documents which are limited by time. In other words, the evidence of right to work they provide will expire, and so further evidence is going to need to be obtained at an appropriate time in the future. Step two is actually checking the document. This means checking that they are genuine and the person on the document is the actual person that you're intending to employ and that they are allowed to undertake the type of work you're offering. So you need to check photos and dates of birth are consistent, expiry dates haven't passed. You need to check whether there are any restrictions on the right to work. So it might be that they can't do work of a particular kind, for instance. You need to check that the documents are or appear to be genuine. And you need to check the reasons for any difference in names and that they can be explained by providing appropriate evidence, such as a marriage certificate. Step three is making a copy of the document and retaining a secure record of the date on which you made the actual check. If you're writing the date that you did the check on the copy, then it should also actually specify that that was the date on which you did the check. So it's not enough just to write the date on it. You need to say this was the date on which the check was actually made. You should then keep the copies for 2 years after the employee actually leaves your employment. So in addition to the manual document check, for some prospective employees, so not all of them, this won't be suitable for everybody, but there's now also an online right to work checking service. This is likely to be particularly relevant for EU or EEA workers who have registered their settled status. It can also be used for migrant workers who hold biometric residence permits or biometric cards. Again, the online step is a three-step process. Step one is to use the online checking service. To do this, you as the employer should obtain what's known as a share code, which from the prospective or current employee, which when entered into the online system with the individual's date of birth, enables you as the employer to review the employee or prospective employee's right to work record. Like with the manual right to work check, the second step is then to check the information that you see. So you're online and you're now looking at the information. If the person has the right to work, then a message will appear stating their name and that they have the right to work. There'll also be a photo of the individual. With the individual actually present, you should check that the photo matches the person. And again, like with the manual, step three on the online version is to retain evidence of the online check. So the easiest way of doing this with the online version is retain a copy of the online profile page containing their photo and the confirmation that they have the right to work by way of a PDF or HTML, and you should retain it for 2 years, again, after they leave. So not just for 2 years, but 2 years after they actually leave. So in addition to the standard manual or online checks, in certain circumstances, you may need to use the employer checking service to establish your statutory excuse. So remember, that's the actual defence. This is usually when the individual has an ongoing application. So they maybe produce a letter showing that they've got an application outstanding. You then use the employer checking service, and if they do have the right to work, you'll receive what's known as a positive verification notice, and you can retain that, and that would give you that defence that you're kind of after. So that's all I want to say to you today. So I appreciate this has been a rather whistle-stop tour of right to work checks, but if anything has come up today that raises any questions with you, please don't hesitate to contact me and I'd be more than happy to help. So thank you again for listening today, and I'll hope you join me soon for the next in this series of podcasts. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Thanks, Fiona. Very quickly for me, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintins.co.uk, and that includes both episodes of this podcast series. You can also follow Fiona and the team on Twitter at SintinsHR. And as Fiona just mentioned there, if you'd like to discuss anything she's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her. Contact details 0191226 7878 or via email fiona.campbell@sintins.co.uk. As Fiona said, that's all from us today. We very much look forward to engaging with you for episode 3. Thank you to those people that are listening and sending in their questions, which we will try and get to throughout the course of the podcast series. Thanks once again, everybody, and stay safe.